God right first. We want to continue on this journey with relationships. And before we get into a message, speaking of relationships, I heard about this guy who was telling his pastor at the door. He says, "Pastor, you know, a few weeks ago we had that men's meeting and it got me so fired up." He said, "I went home and I told my wife," he said, "Wife, from now on, I'm in charge. I'm the boss of this house. I'm taking over." And he said, "You're not pushing me around anymore. I'm making all the decisions." And the pastor said, "Wow." He says, "What happened?" He said, "Well, after that, I didn't see her for 3 days." He said, "But on the fourth day, I could see her a little bit out of this eye." We're on a journey of relationships. Relationships can be a journey, can't they? Our life is a journey with God. Last week, part one on relationships, we talked about how important it is to have a relationship with God, because really, none of your other relationships will really work if you don't have a good relationship with God. Man was designed to have a relationship with God and to get his strength, his life, his peace, his joy, and his approval from Almighty God. If we don't get that from God, we seek to get that from other people and we do crazy things and we try to pull something from somebody else that they are not able to give us. And so you have to get your life from God, and then you can have successful, happy, fruitful, abundant relationships with other individuals. Especially if both of those individuals have gotten their life from God, and then they come together, they just share life with each other. Now, there are relationships that God gives us to where we are the source of strength for somebody because they don't have a relationship with God. They don't know God. They haven't taken that first step of bridging that immeasurable gap between man's sinfulness and fallen nature and God's holiness, and that what bridges that gap is Jesus Christ, right? So we all know people who they don't have even that ability to get their life from God. And God will use us in those circumstances to give life to people. But if you've ever done that, you realize you can only do that so much, and then it drains you. You have to go back and get your life from God. But too often in the relationships that are supposed to be mutually life-giving, if one or both of those individuals don't get their life from God, then they are mutually draining of each other. And so last week we talked about getting your life from God. And all of the relationships flow out of that. Life is a relationship journey, is it not? It's a series of relationships. We see in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, God had a relationship with his first creation, Adam. And then he said of Adam, it's not good that he be alone. He needs someone suitable, a suitable relationship on his own level. And he made Eve. Adam and Eve had a relationship with each other. You were born into a relationship. You were born out of a relationship. Christianity is a relationship. It's not a set of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. It can be, but then it's not life-giving. Christianity is a relationship. I heard Dr. Dobson used to say this. He probably still says it. I don't know, but as some book that we read when we were in the early stages of raising our children, he said he was talking about how you have to have rules and boundaries in your home. But he also made this statement. He said, "Rules without relationships lead to rebellion." That's right. And that's true in our homes, and that's true in Christianity. If our Christianity is just a set of rules, it will lead to rebellion. If we don't have a relationship with God, we have a relationship with God, the rules we understand come out of his heart of love, and then we can work with those rules. So relationships are so important. If we'll be honest, we would say most of the pain, hurts, wounds, and disappointments that we've experienced in life came through a relationship. And also some of the happiest moments we had in life came through relationships. Most of the issues that we have are a result of relationships. Did you know that you have issues? Did you know I have issues? You have issues. And if you don't think you have an issue, that is your issue. I have issues, you have issues, Say it with me. All God's children got issues. All right? Let's just start there. And most of our issues came from relationships. And so often, then we equate relationships with pain, hurt, disappointment. And then we try to avoid relationships. And that's not a good thing either, because we're made as relational people. The fact is, because of the fall of man, we live on a fallen planet. The earth's under a curse. Man has a sinful nature. There is a devil loose that Jesus talked about. He has demons. There's all kinds of problems. And the fact is, life itself will beat you up. And sometimes because of that, we become jaded. We become defensive. Our reactions to people become twisted. We're wounded. And out of that comes that saying, hurt people hurt people. And how do we overcome all of that? Well, I'll give you a quick answer, then we'll explore it a little bit more today and next week. The quick answer is grace and mercy. How do you overcome? God has provided a way for us to overcome. Don't settle into the place that you have ended up because of hurts and pains, disappointments in relationships. It's important to get a fresh start, to get healing, to get the slate wiped clean, so to speak, so that you can experience the joy of relationships. And in all relationships, there will be challenges to overcome. But it's better to start a fresh start rather than bringing baggage with you from the past. And I can assure you that there is a grace available. I'm so glad that this series on relationships follows the series we did in January on grace, unmerited favor, an unfair advantage. Grace is God's influence acting in man to make him pure and morally strong. Grace is what God will supply into your life to heal you of the pains of past relationships. There is hope for the future. You can get free from the pains of the past. It's called the grace of God. Start believing. Start expecting. Don't just sit there and think, well, this is where I've ended up and this is the way I'm going to be the rest of my life. Have a hope for a better tomorrow. Have a hope to have a clean slate and to be able to experience the joy of relationships and get healed of the wounds of the past. Start seeing yourself the happy child that you were before those things came into your life, and see the plan that God has for you to experience the abundance of God's grace and mercy and power in your life through all the abundant relationships that he's created for us to walk in. So, grace is God's favor. It's like this. You're God's favorite child. And it's like this. He's got your picture in his wallet. Yeah, just think about that. That's what favor is. You're his favorite. Now you say, well, that can't be possible. But it is possible with God. I don't understand that. But I know that the Bible says he knows my end from the beginning. He knows my thoughts from afar. He knows my rising and my sitting. He formed my inward parts before the creation of the earth. The amazingness of God is his ability to love you exclusively and still do that with everybody on the planet. Anybody who wants to have a unique personal relationship with him can have it. You and I need to act like I'm God's favorite. It's okay to act like that. You're supposed to act like that. Act like he's got my picture in his wallet. In fact, on the back of his car, he's got a bumper sticker about you. It says, my child is an honor student at Victory Church. You say, well, God doesn't have a car. Well, the King James says, God drove Adam and Eve out of the garden in a fury. Hey, I don't know if they even make those things anymore. The Plymouth Fury, my cousin had a 1970 Plymouth Fury. Boy, it was a cool car. And there's other cars mentioned in the Bible. In fact, there's a world record in Acts chapter 2 said there was 120 in one accord. That's a lot of people in a little Honda. On the back of his chariot, there's a bumper sticker that says, my child has more faith than your child. He's talking about you. You're a child of faith. On the back of his donkey, it says, my child's on the dream team at Victory Church. He's proud of you. God's excited about you. God, think about this. God's your biggest fan. Isn't it neat to have somebody in your corner rooting for you? I hope you had somebody like that in your life. My grandmother was like that. I told you a couple weeks ago, I could do no wrong. I always knew there was somebody rooting for me. It's important that you have somebody like that. Rejoice in the fact that God's your biggest fan. Now, me, I felt like I needed to start my own fan club. I started a fan club for myself. Did you know that? Yeah, I did. I didn't feel like I had enough fans. In fact, I've got a picture right here of me with two of my biggest fans. All relationships flow from your relationship with your father. Did you know that? Earthly father and mother are designed to help us relate to Father God. And I got good news for you. You have a father in heaven who loves you, who's in your corner, who actually thinks you're all that and a bag of chips. He's for you. He's rooting for you. He's your biggest fan. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" If you have a father in heaven, everything's going to be all right. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Is God for you? He is for you. God is for us. You say, yeah, I know that, but I've been wounded and hurt. And I understand that and I believe that. But do you want to stay there or do you want to love again? We all need relationships. Life was not designed to be lived in isolation. Do you know that isolation is a form of punishment? They use it to interrogate people. They put them in isolation because if the hardest, meanest, murderous person doesn't like to be in isolation. Isn't that amazing? A study at UCLA, a recent study says that you need 8 to 10 meaningful touches every day, every person. I caught a little bit of a program on the TV the other day about this prison that's supposed to be the most toughest prison in America. I don't remember the name of it. I think it was in California someplace. And I remember they said that they've got this first fence. It's very high security. Everybody's in there is life in prison. And that's why they say it's so tough to deal with these guys because they got nothing to lose. What can you do to them? They're already life in prison. It's a tough prison. The first fence, and then there's a middle fence that is an electric fence, but it's not like the cattle fences that they zap you. It will actually kill you dead. And then there's a third fence. I don't know why they need the third one for, because the second one kills you dead. But they were talking about these people, and they showed this guy. He's a multiple convicted murderer. He's been in the gangs, mean-looking guy. He's got tattoos all over him, and he's got these teardrops, which according to gang information, every time you kill somebody, they put one of those on you. This guy's got those all over his face. He's a mean guy. He is in solitary confinement. They did a little interview, and his goal in life was to get out of solitary confinement. And I was just thinking, this guy is a hardened, mean murderer, and he didn't want to be in solitary confinement. And yet you and I will separate ourselves from relationships because of a hurt in our past, and it's one of the worst things you can ever do is cut yourself off from God's life source, relationships. You need to be healed of the hurts of the past so you can experience the joys of the future. I remember this study that we read about when I was taking a psychology course at the University of Florida. This is about 30 years ago. It was a study done in Romania. At this time in Romania, 30 years ago or so, they had an abundance of children. I guess their parents were killed in the war or something, but they had hundreds of thousands of infants that they set up these institutions, and they looked like factories. They were doing their best to take care of these kids, but there's like hundreds of thousands of little newborns. And I remember that they showed us a video, and it was in the study, and they had these big rooms with just cribs. Like one room will have like 100 cribs with these little babies in it. And people would come in and feed them and change their diapers, but it was like a factory. And they did a psychological study, and they took this one room with 100 cribs, and they split it in half, and they said, okay, 50 on this side, we'll do what we always do. The 50 on the other side, in addition to just feeding them and changing their diapers, someone will come in and hold the baby, whatever, I don't remember it was, 3 times a day for an hour, something like that. And then what they found was there was an amazing difference in just a month or two between the babies that were being held and the babies who were not being held. The death rate changed drastically. Sickness changed drastically. They gained weight. They were more well-adjusted. Their motor skills, every function you could measure about the child was greatly increased to the better in the 50 that just had a little bit of touch versus the ones that just were fed. You and I were built, made, wired. It's in our DNA to have relationships. And the devil knows that, and he's done what he can in our, what he's been able to do in our lives to cut off our most meaningful and needful relationships in the future. We need openness. We need healing. We need forgiveness. We need to get forgiveness. We need to give forgiveness. Last week, I gave you once again that list of the seven characteristics, universal characteristics of healthy people. It's a scientific study done on over 2 million people in 70,000 different churches over six continents. And we looked at those, and I didn't bring any more for you today, but I just wanted to look at number six. It says this, and they're not in any type of order. It's just seven common characteristics of healthy people that you and I need. Six says this, developing life-giving relationships by addressing hurts, wounds, and disappointments as they occur. Now, one thing we need is to get healed of the past ones. But what even happens after you get healed, after you get free, all that's taken care of? Aren't we just going to keep creating the same messes in the future? Here's a remedy on how to have a successful relationship in the now. Developing, it's one of the characteristics of a healthy life, is developing new relationships. And here's how to keep your relationships healthy. By addressing, no, go back to that one. By addressing hurts, wounds, and disappointments as they occur. So many times I've had people tell me, do you know what so-and-so did? Did you know what so-and-so said? And I might say to them, and what did you say to them? Oh, I haven't said anything to them. Really? What good does that do telling me? And sometimes people will go and tell 10 different people what so-and-so did, and the only one who can remedy the situation is the person they don't talk to. Why do we do that? Why do we go around complaining about why not do what the Bible says? If you have something, if your brother has aught against you, go to the one. If your brother sinned against you, go. The Bible says go to that person one-on-one. That's the first step of remedying any type of problem that you have in your life, broken relationship. Before you go complaining to anybody else except God, you should go to that person. We really don't have a right to complain to somebody else until we've gone to that person. The Bible says if you go to that person and you can't remedy it, go to one other person or two other people of wisdom and stature, get counsel, and then go to them again. It doesn't say to go blabbing it to everybody else. It says go to that. And we would keep from having all these problems in our relationships if we would just follow this really basic piece of advice here. In our marriages, if we just have better communication, go, you know what, that really hurt when you said that. And address them as they occur. Maybe not right there in the moment. Maybe you're in a crowd of people and maybe your spouse says something, but you take note and maybe when there's an appropriate time, maybe that's what that Bible verse means, you know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Before long, deal with it. You know, someone told us when we got married, don't go to bed mad. So we've always done that. We'll just stay up all night and fight. And, you know, just don't go to bed mad. Just keep fighting and get up the next day. After two or three nights without sleep, then you work it out. You know, just keep fighting. But addressing hurts, wounds, and disappointments as they occur. If somebody says something, don't just keep stuffing it under. Find a time and a place to say, you know what? What that did when you said that? And start working those things out. And don't call your mother. How can she help you? Find a way to work it out with your spouse, with your mate, with your roommate, whoever you have that relationship with your boss. If the boss said something to hurt you, you don't need to go talk to 10 other employees. Hello? go to the boss and say, you know, when you did that in front of them, that really hurt me. I was watching, many of you know, I was a big Packers fan when I was a kid, and I always loved those Packers in the 60s and Vince Lombardi, and they had this special on TV called The Football Life, The Life of Vince Lombardi, two-part special. Man, I loved that thing. It was great. Now, there was something interesting. He was a type D person, general-driven. Bart the orders, but Bart Starr was his quarterback, and they were doing an interview with Bart Starr and his remembrances of Vince Lombardi. He said, you know, we were having this practice one day, and Vince came over and just chewed me up and down right there on the field in front of all the players. And he said, after the practice, he said, I went in his office, and he said, I sat down with Coach Lombardi, and I told him, I said, Coach, you know I don't do everything right, and I need correction. He said, but I'm not going to be able to be the leader of this team in the eyes of these men if you just ridicule me like that in front of my teammates. He said, he didn't say anything. He said, but for the rest of his life, he never, ever did that again. See, he was somebody that learned. Now, what if Bart Starr just went around now he's got a chip on his shoulder about Vince Lombardi, and they maybe never would have won those championships. It would have broken that unity. He did what he's supposed to do. He went to the coach at the right time. He didn't fight with him on the field. After practice, he went and he sat in his office, and he just said, look, here's what I'm feeling. I just want to put it out there for you. And the coach took it to heart, and he changed his way, a type D, strong personality. He listened. He had wisdom. He followed. You have to go to the source of the problem. It doesn't do any good to go to everybody else or anybody else. So we're going to have to learn to develop life-giving relationships. We're going to have to remedy some of the problems that we've had in the past that got us into the mess that we're in because of relationships, and not just give up our relationships. Let's learn how to do them better. We also need understanding. Understanding in many areas, such as different personality types, which, by the way, is what we're having today in Discovery 301. We have Discovery 301 after church today. We're going to have lunch. If you've never been through 301, you need to, it's be a really good idea, if at all possible, stay. We got lunch for you. We're going to do Discovery 301, and we're going to identify your personality type, and you'll see that, in general, people are of four basic different types of personality. It'll help you understand people that you have to deal with by identifying their personality type and how they look at things and how they relate to circumstances and individuals. We're also going to do a spiritual gifting test, which helps you understand people, how they're gifted. And we do a passions test. And this is a very useful tool that we give you free of charge. We'll help you understand yourself and other people. It's a great tool. So, to have healthy relationships going forward, we need to have understanding. We need to learn how to deal with conflict as it comes up. And we were just talking about marriage. You know, it's an interesting thing. I think in marriage, you need to be your partner's biggest fan. It's one thing I always appreciated about Courtney and Barbara's relationship. You know, Courtney Roberts, he passed away a couple years ago. He was a strong personality. He was in the military, black belt in 5 martial arts, chief of police of Gainesville, many accolades, honors. He was a very strong person, and he was a fascinating man, a wonderful man. But I'm sure he had faults just like all of us. But you know what? Barbara, if you ever talked to Barbara, it was like he was the most perfect person in it. That was something I always admired about their relationship and about Barbara's respect for Courtney, was she was his biggest fan. Oh, he did, absolutely. And they were both each other's biggest fans. They would always, but regardless, Barbara was always bragging about, she didn't talk about maybe little things that he did, and, you know, if he left the toothpaste out or left the, you know, we all do little things that, and sometimes we make a mountain out of something silly like that, like not putting the cap on the toothpaste, instead of looking for the good in other people. And you know what it did for Courtney? You know, knowing that his mate was his biggest fan, it just made him all that more courageous and bold. We need to be our mate's biggest fan for sure. I want to give you 5 decisions that you need to make. And there was a handout on your seat when you came in. If you didn't pick it up, you're sitting on it, and it looks like this. And I'm going to help you fill in the blanks. 5 decisions that you need to make. and will help you on your journey of getting over relationships from the past that hurt you and establishing good relationships and learning how to have good relationships. Five decisions you need to make. Number one is to nurture your important relationships. To nurture your important relationships. And you need to figure out and write down sometime the priorities of your relationships. I would submit to you that on the top of your list, number one should be God, as I shared last week. That is the source of all other relationships. Then if you're married, then your spouse would be number two. If you're not married, you have to figure out where how your relationships fall. If you have children or different family members or roommate, you need to prioritize your relationships, but you need to nurture your important relationships. If you have a mentor, you will have to work toward that. If you have a disciple, small group will take work. It's an investment of time to establish relationships in a small group with your roommate, your best friend. Every great relationship happens on purpose, not by accident. You might want to jot that down. Every great relationship happens on purpose, not by accident. Here's another truth. Nothing stays like you left it. Nothing stays like you left it. In science, it's called the law of entropy, the second law of thermodynamics. You cannot violate it. It's irrefutable. First law of thermodynamics is there's X amount of energy in the universe. It cannot be created or destroyed. It only changes form. The second law is that anything left alone will go to a lower form of complexity. It will devolve. It will go down. For instance, you buy a brand new car, park it in front of your house, leave it for 30 years, and come back. Guess what? It ain't a brand new car anymore. It won't even run anymore. You haven't done it. You haven't driven it. Law of entropy. Same thing happens in relationships. Unless energy is put into something, it doesn't stay where you left it. It devolves. It goes down. If you don't invest into your relationships, your most important relationships, they won't get better by themselves. They only get better if you put more into it. Nothing stays like you left it. Relationships need constant care, investment, planting, weeding, feeding, watering, healing at times. Pastor Tim shared this with Rebecca and I one time. We were meeting with him, and he shared a word of wisdom about his relationship with his wife, Alicia. He says, in your relationship, in marriages, you have to have a reset button. And he went on to share, you have to have a reset button where you start from a clean slate. Because if you're always going back to last month, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you spend all your time going back and everybody's interpretation of the past is different. You ended up having a fight on what really happened. He said, you got to have a reset button in a marriage, in a relationship. You got to have a reset button where we say, you know what, let's just wipe it all out. Let's just start fresh from here. Let's just go forward. Some people can't deal with that. They don't want a reset button. They want to live in the past. But I think it's good advice. You got to have a reset button in your relationships. I've seen this happen with parents and their children or siblings. They haven't talked for 20 years. And they try to get together, but all they want to do is go back. You need to have a reset. Hey, you know what? Since we are brothers and sisters, can we just kind of start all over again? Let's just forget all the past and get going. Relationships sometimes have to be reset. You need a reset button. Relationships take work, and no relationship thrives on its own. Okay, number two, decision you need to make to restore your broken relationships. Now, this is not always possible, but if it is possible, it will help you. And we have this verse of scripture, Romans 12, 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Yeah. Now, if somebody has aught against you, if you've hurt someone, then there's something you can do about that, isn't it? Yeah. You can at least say you're sorry for what you did. Now, some of the situations in broken relationships is something that somebody did to you, and maybe you've tried to repair it. But what you can do, you can... In many situations, unfortunately, many of us have had hurts in the past, and that person that hurt us is never or will never, they maybe have already died and never apologize. So there are situations where that person, because on their part, they're not willing to offer an apology. But on your part, you can release them. You can forgive them. And that is what you need to move forward. So you have to, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Release people that have hurt you. In all cases, forgive. Release anger, resentment, and bitterness. Five decisions you need to make. Number three, be healed of past hurts. Now, this is a complex subject that probably deserves hours and hours of teaching, and we're hoping to get started in our small groups network, a class that we have resources on called Living in Freedom Every Day, or LIFE, and we hope to have that going by the end of the year. And that's exactly what it does, is helps you to be healed of past hurts. But don't wait till we get the class started. See someone on the pastoral staff. You know, Pastor Carl and Brenda are in charge of pastoral care. But see someone and say, you know, I've got some hurts. And we'll find a remedy, a situation for you to get on a path to recovery. You need to be healed of past hurts. And number four, decisions you need to make about relationships, sever harmful relationships. Do you have relationships that are pulling you in the wrong direction? You questioned the rightness of it. You even feel guilty about that relationship. Sever harmful relationships. There's an old saying, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. In fact, there's a Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 15, 33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. We're talking about the journey of relationships, how to have good relationships because you need them. You need relationships. Don't give up on relationships because of the hurts of the past. I'm giving you five things that will help you start to have better relationships. Sever harmful relationships. And number five, initiate some meaningful relationships. Initiate some meaningful relationships. Maybe you don't have the right relationships. You have some relationships. Maybe there's some that you need to cut off and replace them with some meaningful relationships in your life. Let me give you some examples. Number one, a relationship with the church. Every Christian should have a relationship with the church. That church will not be perfect. It's a collection of saints, a bunch of people that have all had all these trouble with relationships like you have, but it's God's plan of redemption for the world. He said, I'm going to build my church, and they're going to take the gospel to the four ends of the earth, and this is what God's plan for us to fulfill our destiny. Psalm 68:6 says, God sets the solitary in families. No, he doesn't just leave them alone. He doesn't put them on islands by themselves. He sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. Yeah, prosperity comes through relationships, through community, through getting involved in the church, through the church family. Yeah, you need that. As children are born into families, born again children are born into the family of God. And prosperity, abundance, increase comes from being apart. You can separate yourself and want to be some old island by yourself, but you will not prosper in the things of God and the plan of God. There is a purpose in the family of God. You will get hurt and wounded because it's part of God's plan, because there's healing and cleansing when you address those hurts and wounds, even in the church, on a day-to-day basis. Learn how to go to somebody in the church that's hurt your feelings. Learn how to do it the right way and talk to them. You'll be surprised what will happen. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You'll find that if you allow the hurts of the past to keep you from new relationships, you will dwell in a dry land. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. Do you know a lot of Christians? It's their habit not to get together. It's the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. I don't know about you, but I see the day drawing near. Amen. You know, as the signs, this is the first generation that can look at all the preconditions to Jesus' second coming and see that they've all been fulfilled. Right. Wow, it's an amazing time that we live in. What does it say our response to that is? Stay together. Another thing you can do to initiate some meaningful relationships, get in a small group. We believe life change takes place through relationships. Get some relationships. It's hard to have a relationship with this many people in a room, but when you get into the small groups, God will orchestrate godly relationships out of those small group settings. You know what? Why don't you do this? Just give it a year and see if you're better off in a year. Give small groups a year and see if it helps you. The third thing you can do to initiate some meaningful relationships is be on a team that's making a difference. You know, I always love being on sports teams. There's some camaraderie in being that team. Well, we've got a team that is making a difference in people's eternities. It's the kingdom of God. Get on a team that's making a difference. A couple weeks ago, Bradley brought a guy with him that he met on the street, and he sat back there in that last row. When I gave the altar call, he raised his hand, received Jesus as Lord and Savior. His eternal destiny was changed. Now, did I do that? No. All of us who are on the team contributed to him having a place to bring him. All these teams. Get on a team that's making a difference. The parking team is part of the team. Usher's team. Sound team, video team, the greeters team, the hospitality team, the growth track team, nursery team, children's team. I could go on and on. Get on a team. Initiate some meaningful relationships. Fourth thing you should do is, going back to last week, continue to deepen your relationship with God. Initiate meaningful relationships. Next week, I want to continue on with some specific relationships and how to deal with them. And I shared with you last week, let's make February a month of new beginnings. Would you just do that with me? Just say, you know, February is a month of new beginnings. Healing some broken relationships from the past. Or if I can't, maybe that person's gone, dead and gone. But you can do your part to release them. Maybe there's somebody you need to go to and speak to. And learn how to, in the present, deal with hurts, wounds, and disappointments as they occur. And think about adding some new, meaningful relationships to your life. And let's just all keep taking one step toward God every week. Amen. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the miracle of relationships. Lord, that you made us relational individuals. You birthed us into this world through a relationship and into a relationship. And we recognize that Christianity itself is a relationship with you. And Lord, that's our first prayer. We want to have a better relationship with you. And out of that, we want to have a better relationship with the people that you've put in our lives. Just begin to show us this week, Lord God, relationships we need to sever that are dragging us down, pulling us back, keeping us from being all that you want us to be. And show us relationships we need to invest in. Maybe some new relationships we need to make. Maybe getting into a small group or onto a dream team or connecting with that person that you're putting in our lives. Finding a mentor or spending more time with a disciple. Help us to invest wisely the currency of this dimension, our time, into good relationships. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I got an important question for you, and that is this. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know, Pastor. I think so. I hope so. I'm not sure. That's a very important consequence to not be sure about. You say, but does anybody know? Can anybody know? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you might know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you've got eternal life. How do you get it? Here's what Jesus said, you must be born again. That means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He does that very thing. He comes, lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But you might be here today. You say, you know what, Pastor, I did that in the past. But today, I'm not where I need to be, and I want to get back on track with God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Either one of those two apply to you. Just slip up your hand real quick right where you're at. Thank you. Anybody else? Today's a new day, a fresh start. You want to be sure if you die tonight, you go to heaven. Anybody else? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with them. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer and meant business with God. Well, listen, if you're going to stay for...